Good morning. Thanks so much for tuning in to KRBD Ketchikan. I'm Maria Dudzak, and we have been announcing that we're going to have a discussion with regards to self-defense. And joining us this morning, we have Clint Schultz. Before we start that discussion, maybe give people a little bit of information about you, your background, and why you are someone who knows about self-defense and taking care of yourself.
All right. Well, we here in Ketchikan have been teaching self-defense for, I think, going on around six, seven years. Been in martial arts, self-defense, combative arts for about 20 years, and served in the United States Marine Corps. Have been heavily involved in combative arts and self-defense ever since I was a kid, and have continued to do so. We've been teaching and running courses for about 10 years throughout Alaska. I have been able to travel through Alaska and United States, and have gone internationally. Have taught Krav Maga and Filipino martial arts and karate and a couple other things to a lot of different individuals.
And here, it's primarily you teach the Krav Maga, is that correct, which is Israeli defense techniques?
Yep. Yeah, that's one of our main courses that we teach here in town is Israeli Krav Maga, which is just like Krav Maga just means contact combat, but it is the Israeli Defense Force form of self-defense that is actively taught in the military right now.
Okay, and we are on the radio, so obviously we can't do demonstrations that anyone can see, but you do have some tips available for folks, and perhaps maybe some simple techniques that you can explain.
Absolutely. So we had an opportunity to spend some time with one of my students who is a Krav Maga student, and she talked about kind of her traveling. She's been doing lots of traveling with her job, been going down south, and has been in some very interesting situations as she's been traveling. So it just got me thinking. I think one of the best things that we teach is probably, like, first and foremost is our awareness to surroundings, because that really determines, you know, if or when, how we kind of get ourselves into a situation that we may have to use self-defense. And so I jotted down just some tips and some ideas for people to think about. So the first one is to look where you're going. You want to have your eyes in front of you, and so often it's just easy. You know, you're walking by yourself in a new place. Maybe you're on your phone chatting with somebody. It's easy not to see the things that are happening around you. And in self-defense encounters, we know that people who are trying to identify victims are looking for people who aren't paying attention. They want to be able to get close to them. They don't want to see them coming. And so not having your eyes on your surrounding is one of those big no-nos that we really encourage people. If you go to a new place, if you're traveling, even if you're at the airport, is be in tune to what's going on around you, because that could save you a lot of hardship later on.
Are there some things you should be keeping an eye out for in particular?
Yeah, I think it actually jumps down to one of our other ones, which is be attentive to your spider senses. You know, if you see something that just makes you feel uncomfortable, tune into that, because we really believe that the body will kind of talk to yourself and be like, you know, hey, this is I'm not feeling very comfortable here, and there may be nothing wrong, and the person maybe that you've tuned into may be perfectly fine, but you don't know. And so you just tune into what your body's telling you. And if you see something you feel uncomfortable with, react to it. Oftentimes we don't react to situations because we either are embarrassed to draw attention to ourselves, or we don't want to be able to tell someone no. And so incorporating those types of pieces into the awareness that says, you know, first I'm going to listen to my senses. Second is
spidey sense, as you said.
Spidey senses. Second is we're going to be very aware of our comfort zone. So it means if anybody comes into that comfort zone, we're going to react and we're going to speak up. And so by doing that, that just identifies that, hey, I'm feeling uncomfortable. It also shows some power and courage that you're going to stand up for yourself. And we always kind of go through the process that when somebody is looking to, like, I don't know, you know, mug you or, you know, put you into a very defensive position, they're looking for people that they can, that would be an easy target. And so we call it like the king of the jungle kind of stuff is the lion always looks for that one gazelle that's fallen behind or that's injured and stuff. So we don't want to be that injured gazelle. We want to stand tall and we want to walk with confidence and we want to be able to use our voice in a very powerful but respectful way. And that will do a lot for us in both building confidence in ourselves while also showing anybody else around us that we're not a target.
What are some things to actually say? Because, you know, you're in this encounter and if you've never done this before, mm-hmm. Also everyone has a different comfort zone space, but you said if someone enters into your comfort zone, what would you say to them, to politely but assertively?
Right. So I think the first thing is, getting to an understanding that you can say no. And so a lot of times people come up, you know, and especially in touristy areas, and they'll come up and talk to you and want to get you to sign up for something. And just being able to tell somebody, no, I'm not interested, just kind of cuts to the chase and it keeps the conversation from going. And so being very defined in that and just being willing to say, no, not interested, not going to happen, stuff like that. Just that no word is really big, because someone who starts to be like, oh, kind of, and they're unsure, that can build into a situation that maybe they didn't intend for it to.
You're inviting them
yeah.
to continue talking
yep.
as opposed to just saying, I'm not interested.
Yep. Nope. Sorry. You know, keep going or I'm going to keep going. Just kind of cut it off. And once that happens, often it doesn't allow them any other entry into the conversation or, you know, into get closer to you. Just stops it. The other thing is the comfort zone is we kind of talk about a 5-foot rule, and we talked about everybody has a different comfort zone, so depending on who you are and where you're at. But if somebody is coming into your 5-foot zone and you're feeling like, hey, I'm getting uncomfortable, and you see that this person's not just walking by me but walking toward me, you could just really, you know, hand goes up, and we always use this palm out technique, which is not making fists or not looking timid, but just both hands up and just saying, oh, I'm sorry, excuse me, can you stop? You need something, and then using those command words like no. And then if they come inside your reach, then all of a sudden they are in your zone, which is not just your comfort zone, but they are in your personal space. And that is a kind of a situation we would say, you got to start thinking about reacting. So either you're stepping back, your arms are going out, palms out, and you're creating distance, and you are really preparing for a situation and getting ready for something that could possibly, maybe not, but could possibly happen. And if it doesn't, that's great. But if, you know, if they reach out and try to touch you, you know, if all of a sudden, you know, they try to, you know, get your wallet or get your purse, you know, you're just in a better position to react and you're ready for it.
And there's different situations. In some cases, there may be other people around.
Mm-hmm.
In other cases, it just may be you. What are maybe some advice to think about when you're in crowded situations, things to be aware of, and then the opposite of if you are on your own out there?
Absolutely. So I'm going to do something for, you know, both for women and for men. So first thing for women is, you know, you carry a purse with you. So say you are traveling or, you know, you're in a public area and you have your purse. Oftentimes we may keep that purse on our dominant side, but we want to encourage everybody to just keep your purse on your non-dominant side and then keep it close to your body. If you have a huge bag and it's like flailing around, you just bring attention to yourself. So the smaller your purse, the smaller your bag, keep it close to your body, keep your arm on it. And what that does is it doesn't allow someone to look at it as a target. Like, oh, there's got a big bag. It's kind of bouncing around. She's not paying attention to it. It just can invite someone in to maybe try to take it or take something from it. By keeping it in the non-dominant side, you keep your dominant hand available in the event that you needed to use it. So if somebody came and grabbed you, you have that dominant hand available.
That's excellent advice. I hadn't even really thought about that.
Cool.
That's...
Yep. Absolutely. We always want to keep...
trying to think of what I do.
And we try to keep that that mentality ready. Is like, you know, you don't expect anything to happen. But that's the thing is like, you know, you get yourself into just one of those situations where you're just all of a sudden you're just wishing you had prepared in some capacity for it. And then the aftermath says, what could I have done to have stopped that from happening? And that can be really hard for people to get through. The second one is when I travel. So when I travel internationally, I was in Brazil this summer, and we're teaching Krav Maga and Filipino martial arts. But when we were there, the area we were at is I did my research. I identified what's the biggest kind of crime that takes place there, and it was muggings and robberies. And so I said, okay. So what I did is I had basically what's called my mugging wallet with me. Is I had my personal wallet that has like my personal information that I want to hold on to, credit cards, stuff like that. But then I had my mugging wallet, which was a secondary wallet that had kind of fake credit cards in it, and it had money in it and just some basic papers and stuff like that. And it had a big bill on the outside. And so basically it was in my, you know, right pocket of my pants. And if anybody were to have come up to me, you know, rob me from my wallet, we always say first and foremost, give them your stuff. You know, don't just take your money out. Give them everything. Just hand it over to them. Make it as easy as quickly as possible. So in that event, I was ready. I was ready for someone to pickpocket me so they could pickpocket the wallet, and it had been perfectly fine. It wouldn't have been the end of the world. Traveling internationally, sometimes people feel very insecure, like if they lose their documents, what's going to happen? So in this way, you have that available if something were to happen, and you just hand it over. And so women can have that in their purse as well. They can have, you know, just their purse has a mugging wallet in it, and, you know, if someone wants the wallet, they can reach in, they can grab the mugging wallet and give them to it, just give them the whole thing. Or they have their purse that just has the basic necessities with a mugging wallet in it, and then they have another thing on them that has their real documents. And so that is one way to kind of secure, you know, if something bad happens, just hand them over everything, and hopefully the situation goes away. They got what they wanted. They got your purse. They got your wallet. They got the money or some money. You know, credit cards maybe don't work, but they don't know that. And so here we are setting up some situations that both keep you safe while traveling and keeps you with your important documents, while also gives, you know, a person who identified you and tried to take your stuff, it gives them that out, so there doesn't have to be any type of violence or anything that takes place.
You say fake credit cards. Do you just use old expired cards, mm-hmm. or you have...
Yeah, I usually just have a couple old expired cards that that we just kind of hold on to. I'll throw one or two in. I'll usually have some gift cards that don't work and just some random stuff like that. And, I mean, if you go through... Pretty much I think anybody could go through their wallet or their purse and find like 5 or 10 things in their thing that they'd never use or that are out of date. I don't know how often anybody else cleans their wallet, but I seem like to do that every year. I just empty it and all of a sudden you just find all this stuff that is just kind of accumulated in there.
And then you say you do have some money in there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that it looks real.
Yeah, you want it to be legit. So, you know, depending on how you're traveling, you know, you don't want to just have a couple dollars because they're going to probably shake you down for more. $50 to $100. But you got to remember is like in the event that it happens, your life is worth way more than, you know, anything that you could stuff in that wallet. So having a setup with $100, $200 is legitimate. And so it shows them that that's the money and that's maybe all they're looking for. And so don't turn a situation bad because you're unwilling to give your personal documents to somebody who just wants your money. So it's just an easy way to de-escalate some conflict and get it over with.
And as you're saying, also just you want to avoid conflict. You want to make things
as
peaceful as possible.
Absolutely. And then we got a couple other ones. On that note, our last actual Krav class, we talked about weapon defense. And so oftentimes people who mug you, rob you, stuff like that, will use a weapon, use a knife, use a gun. And so in those situations, that's one of the reasons why people don't ever recommend responding to those is because there's so much danger of getting hurt, no matter how trained you are. So we give them everything that they ask for, cell phone, purse, wallet, all of it. But in the event that somebody were to say, now come with me, so they've robbed you and now they want you to come with them, this is an absolute no-no. And this is something that we want to just ingrain into people is if somebody ever tries to get you to go with them, you absolutely, positively do not. You fight back. And so that fighting back could be, I mean, whatever, however you can. But the biggest thing is to try to draw as much attention to the situation as possible and absolutely don't listen to any directions they say. Would also bring us to the we have some finite absolutely no's. If anybody tries to knock on your door at your house, and so we could use that for a local thing. You could say it's a little girl screaming for her, lost her dad, stuff like that. Or a woman knocks on the door and says, you know, husband was hurt down the street or they had a car accident. In these situations, what we want to try to do is we never want to allow anyone inside of our home. What we want to do is just pick up the phone. We call 911 and do those types of things. But knowing that, you know, there's a balance between that good humanitarian Samaritan and somebody using a situation to set you up. And there's been a lot of those that people who will create some type of accident on the side of the road and you pull over and all of a sudden something bad happens. And the same thing, they'll use someone else to get you comfortable, you know, a woman or a child or something like that, and to get into the home, and then all of a sudden there's access into the house. And so you just got to be aware of those types of things. Be aware of what's going on around the community. One thing that used to happen, this was a couple of years ago, and not here in Ketchikan. Ketchikan's one of those, we say, just great communities, safe, pretty safe community. But something that was happening in Lower 48 is someone would go and they'd turn on the water outside of the home. And all of a sudden, they'd hear the water running outside. They'd go around, open the door, go around, check the water, and then they'd turn it off. And all of a sudden, they were exposed. And so those types of things that are unusual, we want to be aware of. And those are the – comes back again to the spidey senses is, hey, I didn't do that. I didn't leave that. Why is my car door open? Stuff like that. Just call 911. It's better just be safe. Have someone come out as a patrol vehicle. And I believe, you know, our law enforcement are more than willing to be available in those types of situations where we deem that there could be a real safety issue.
And you speak about Ketchikan. We have listeners all over the area here, mm-hmm. over on Prince of Wales Island and Annette Island, as well as here on Revilla Island. Fairly safe, as you're saying. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a safe place. But at the same time, are there some things that you know of that are going on that maybe people should be aware of? Well, are you hearing anything?
Well, you know, we hear of some small stuff that's going on, people pulling knives on each other. It usually happens kind of late at night. There's some rules, I think, that are that go across the board for every community. The first is between the times of like 11 p.m. and 5 a.m., they say those are 80% of aggravated assaults and crimes and muggings and stuff take place during that time. And so being aware that when you're out, how late you're out, can deem where the risk factor starts to increase and increase. Being around people who are intoxicated is another 80%. 80% of aggravated assaults happen with somebody you know, and so being aware of the people who are around you. Here in Alaska, and this is one of those not good statistics for Alaska, but I was looking at the FBI database for aggravated assaults and stuff on women here in Alaska, especially on Alaska Native women, and we ranked in, I think, the top five, Anchorage did, for some of the most dangerous places to live for women. And Anchorage, Fairbanks, were both very high in that in those two pollings. And it just had to do with population. And then they talked about the ones that didn't get reported, and it was just a really it was really sad. It was sad to hear that this is happening so often, and it's happening to a select population. And so that's what we are trying to do, is just create some skill bases, some awareness, some tools, some self-defense, some confidence for people to view their surroundings different, to know the information, and to be able to be able to do something about it. There's nothing worse than being in a situation and being like, I just didn't know what to do. You know, or there's nothing I could do. And learning self-defense gives you options to be able to have something to do.
And are there maybe some simple, I don't know if there's any simple techniques you could verbally illustrate for people on what, you know, a situation you might be in, and if you physically had to do something, what you might be able to do?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, oftentimes when we think of self-defense, a lot of guys will think self-defense for women, but this isn't really the case. Guys get attacked just as much as women do. So there's just different populations that, you know, we talk about sometimes. But for men or women, one of the things that we want them to know is in a situation where their comfort zone is, you know, their spidey senses are going off. Somebody has stepped into their comfort zone and maybe even stepped into their personal bubble, and they know that they feel threatened. They feel like their life could be a danger. Is don't wait to see what they're going to do. It's already happened. You know that aggression's already taking place. So as quick as you can, react. And that means if, like, you just, like, hit somebody in the face and then run, that could be the greatest thing you do, is you attack first in order that you could get away. And so having that ability to say, I don't have to wait until I become a victim. As soon as I feel my life is at threat and that this person is going to do some type of harm to me, I need to be able to and be willing to react. And so we tell people, let's make the decision before you actually have to make the decision. you say, hey, if anything ever happens to me, if I get into a situation, or maybe my family, that's a big one we could talk about, but I'm going to react. So you've already instilled it in your mind and into your process that if anything bad happens, I'm willing to fight for my life. So you've made the decision, so you don't have to make the decision on the go or when it happens, because some people may freeze up. This helps us from not freezing and gets us to react. So as soon as we can, we either hit to the base of the face, and we recommend people who don't practice martial arts or defensive arts on a regular basis is to hit with the palm of your hand. It does two things. Is usually when you get afraid, what happens? Your hands come up. And then from there, you can just take that palm with your open hand and just throw it forward right at the face. And so it could be fingers hits the eyes. It could be palm hits the nose, underneath the chin. Any of those areas, you just strike. And what we tell people is pure aggression is what we want. It's just hit until the attacker is no longer attacking, until you have an opportunity to escape. And then you take off. The other thing is the groin. So knee to the groin, kick to the groin. Absolutely perfect. I give a story about my father who was playing a trick on me. I was, I think, 12 years old, and I was coming into my house, and he grabbed me from behind in our entryway and was just messing around. And I had hit him right in the groin, and he fell. My dad's a big guy. He's like 300 pounds, 6'1", huge guy, and I'm a little kid. And he was on the ground, and he was like crying, and he was in pain, and I thought I was going to be in the biggest trouble in my life. But I was able to see what a little person like I was could do to someone so big and so strong. So there's areas on people that can be very effective. But our first and foremost is not, you know, you don't take someone down and then just beat on them. You get away. Your whole goal is to survive. So as soon as the threat is neutralized, they're down, they're no longer a threat, you take off. And you call 911, you tell them what happened, because this is the second part here, is you need to make sure that the law enforcement knows what happened, because you don't want to leave somebody out there who's attacking people or attacking women and let them continue to do this. You may have been a victim that got away, but what about the next person? So you turn it in, you let them know what happened, you tell them exactly, you know, my life was in threat, you know, they were going to attack me, I did this, I took off. And we've had some of the state troopers that do our self-defense, our women's self-defense program with us, and they just always reiterate this, is you're not going to get in trouble in defending yourself. You know, so just know that. So don't be afraid that if I fight back or, you know, I do any of this stuff, that I'm going to end up getting in trouble. Is when you do, you know, fight for your life, if you're defending yourself and you're doing it because you are in danger, you're going to be just fine.
And I think a couple things from that. I bet your dad didn't mess with you again.
Nope.
After that. But also you were talking about how you need to react immediately, because I do think a lot of us, it's like, oh, maybe I'm wrong. You're apprehensive. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they're okay. They're just, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're apprehensive to harm someone,
right,
because you're thinking, maybe I'm reading it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like you're saying, go with your senses.
Yep, go with your senses. And I always tell someone, if for some reason you hit somebody who wasn't actually trying to hurt you, like you totally misread the situation, you can always apologize to them later. I mean, you could give them the deepest condolences and apology that you can possibly give anybody. But the thing is what if you were right? You know, and if all your senses and all those scenarios are playing through, you know, your spidey senses are going off. They've gone through the 5-foot zone. Now they're into your personal space. I'm pretty sure that you're reading it correctly, because otherwise they shouldn't have been there. So if you had used some verbalization, no, hey, back off, those types of things, and they're not. Hands down, you know, defend yourself, use defense, and get out of there. And this could be for guys too. I mean, guys don't need to see how tough they are or wait to see, you know, if something's going to happen. Is we can do the same thing. Is hands up, hey, create the space, tell them to back off, those types of things. And, you know, if it keeps coming and we're really feeling a threat, we need to be able to react as well. We may react a little different than maybe a smaller woman will, but that's dependent upon each person.
Okay, and we do have a few minutes left in the show. If anyone out there has questions or comments, you can give us a call. The numbers are 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. Please do call now, though. Again, I didn't realize how quickly time was flying. We just have a few minutes left. So those numbers again, 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723. And you have some other thoughts?
Sure. Last couple ones is, a lot of times traveling when we run, go for a jog, stuff like that, headphones. Headphones are one of the big ones. We love to listen to music, but don't allow for the music to drown out everything in your surroundings. That's very bad. It can be just as bad as, walking around with a cell phone. If you can't hear the things that are going on around you, then you can really put yourself at risk. And I always coached running for a long time, and my students always ask, can I put headphones on? And it's like, absolutely not, because you lose a sense of what's going on around you, and it could be cars or vehicles and stuff like that. So that's for safety. But this is also, if you have headphones on and you're traveling, you're walking down the street, you're going for a jog in a park, you may not know that there's somebody coming up behind you. And so, if you want to put headphones in, that's great. Just turn down the volume. Make sure you can still hear the things that are going on around you. Don't drown out the whole surrounding. The second thing is, if you're a woman, careful of your drinks. One of the things is, if you go, say you go out and you just go out with some friends and you have a drink, that drink needs to stay with you at all times. If you're going to go dancing, you leave your drink with somebody else and you have them watch it. And just be aware of those things. So setting up things beforehand with your friends can go a long ways.
And is that a big issue of people putting...
I think probably not here so much in here in Ketchikan.
Traveling.
Yeah, definitely traveling. Definitely traveling abroad is huge. Nightclubs and stuff like that. Nightclubs and tourism, alcohol are not good combinations. A lot of things can happen, and people will take advantage of tourists on a real regular basis because they know they come with money and stuff, and so you are very naturally a target. So just having those things in place and having those safety pieces will increase your chances of not ever having those happen. And then being aware of the people with you. If you're traveling with a group, talk about, hey, just in case something happens, hey, maybe you should have a wallet with you, mugging wallet, give some advice to the people with you if you're knowledgeable about things, just in the event that, something does go wrong, everybody kind of knows how to react.
And kind of keeping an eye out for each other as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, I think that kind of went through most of our little tips and stuff. I think one of the biggest things is, we do those women's self-defense classes on a regular basis. Great opportunity for women to come in. We train every Friday at the rec center from 5 to 6:30 in the Israeli Krav. We do the Filipino martial arts on Wednesday from 7 to 8, and we just started a new Krav class on Wednesday as well from 6 to 7. We got some upcoming courses, our Israeli knife class on August 12th. That's coming up at the rec center from 12 to 4, and then we're doing a combat shooting course, Israeli class, on September 9th. So we encourage people to get plugged in training, because the training will make the difference if you have anything in your toolbox or not.
And is that something, it's okay if you haven't been continuously going, like you can drop in at any time, or does it build on itself and you really need to be there from the start? Or
no, so, if you plug in the classes is really, you've made a kind of a decision to do some training. You don't got to be there every week, but you basically said, I want to train, I want to learn the system. And so, you come to the class. The seminars and workshops are designed for other people. We get a lot of our students that come and participate in the seminars, but like the one coming up in August, August 12th, this knife fighting course, this could be for anyone. We got some people coming down from Juneau to come be a part of it, and because we're going to teach the Israeli tactical knife method, and it's going to be a 4-hour course. So anybody who would like to learn about the knife, how to use the knife, defend against the knife, would be available to come. The shooting course is the same. It is the Israeli handgun course here on September 9th. And for anyone who would like to learn about using a handgun, like a semi-auto handgun, this could be the situational aware citizen. It could be law enforcement, military, security. The Israeli method of instinctive point shooting is a great, great method. They'll learn a lot. They may not take away everything, but they'll definitely pull away a lot of stuff to pull in their toolbox. And that's what we want, is we want them to walk away much more comforted. So we got a lot of ladies that are already signed up for the shooting course. Got a lot of guys that are already signed up. So that is a pre-register course. So we want people signed up before the actual course happens. But the other ones are just, show up come in, come train, keep an open plate.
Great. Well, a lot of really, really great information, and thank you very much for being
here. Absolutely. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much. Clint Schultz, again, he teaches some self-defense classes, many of those through the Recreation Center, so you can find out more information from them. And again, be safe out there and hope some of these tips were helpful.